Hello, Toasters, if you don't mind me calling you that. It's Tom here. Another week, another romp through the Amazon purchase history of a funny one coming up. This week, it's the comedian Tatty McLeod. So prepare yourself for a whole ep bursting with revelations, Paris, and broken phones, and much, much more. Tatty is a really fabulously funny guest. And also, she does that thing that makes me very jealous. She divides her time between two different places. Such a great sentence. I divide my time. I long to do that. I just love that phrase. I think I might start using it just as a phrase. I divide my time between the studio and the sofa. Pretty busy. That does make me feel a little more higher status. Anyway, as ever, thanks for all the hard listening and liking that you're doing. We appreciate your effort here at Toasterpod Towers. It's not easy. I realise that. But thank you so much for all the nice things you've been saying about this series. If you get a second, please give us a lovely rate and review. And also please head over to our very busy and very lovely YouTube channel, youtube.com/@mymatebottatoaster, where you can see lots of episodes in full visual glory, including this one. The link for our YouTube is on the ep description. Go and click on it and then subscribe. Go on. Go and do it now. Go on. I'll wait. I've got all the time in the world. Go on. Fine, all right, do it later. All right, I understand. Okay, on with the episode. Oh, big fat language warning coming down the line here. So brace, brace, brace. Big old swear word about to drop very early doors. If you're a fan of swear words, you'll like the beginning.
The other day someone said to me, your jumper's so cunty.
Wow.
And I said, no, you're a cunt.
No, yeah.
I said, what are you trying to say?
What do you mean?
It's a compliment now to say your clothes are cunty.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can. That's what they do now. They're just like, oh my God, the shirts are cunty.
No.
And you're like... what?
Wow. Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Bass talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Water Toaster. Oh, it's my mate, Water Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's my mate, Water Toaster. Toaster for my love, thank God, Toaster. Welcome along to My Mate Bought a Toaster. Joining me today on my Amazon confessional sofa is the self-professed non-Amazon shopper, Tatty McLeod.
Yes, I'm afraid so. I'm not going to be very fun. It's not going to be a very long episode.
Well, sometimes people want to skip on and go and listen to the rest of his politics. Do you know what I mean? They can jump in here, get a bit of Toaster.
Is that on after this?
Yeah, that's how it works with podcasts.
Yeah.
it's like a TV channel.
I don't use Amazon. I don't listen to podcasts. I'm the perfect guest for this.
Wow.
I'm joking. I do listen.
This is one of the biggest ones.
Yeah,
really huge, really huge. Can I just also say, Tatty, that we have debuted our brand new mic muffs for your episode.
Really?
So, yeah, this is the first time we've used them. They've got the branding of the show on the mic muff, and it's the day that you've come along and said, I don't actually have an Amazon account.
Do you know what they remind me of?
Go on.
Minions.
Yes, that's very, yes, it's a minion yellow with My Mate Bought a Toaster.
But that's lovely. It's a good time of year to have a bit Minion-themed stuff.
True, true. And also, Minions have done well.
They've done incredibly well. I used to have my friend Constance, because you know it's from a French design company originally, the Minions.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called, but big French sort of animation company.
Right.
She used to design the hair.
No. The Minions' hair.
Minions' hair.
Sometimes you think, what will be my legacy when I die? What will live on of me? Minions' hair.
Minions' hair, exactly. And her children, I suppose.
Mm.
But, you know.
Minions' hair is probably...
more important.
Well, I'd say so.
Absolutely.
It'll certainly make more money than her children.
Exactly.
Talking of legacies, my legacy is just nosing through people's Amazon accounts, which could be quite brief for you today, Tatty.
It will be.
But we'll find other things, don't worry. Mm. So you don't use it at all, right?
No.
So, yeah, look at this. I can just see there's absolutely nothing. if we go back, there's one order placed in 2017. This is okay. This is something. We've got
is
something
there?
Here. 2017.
Oh, four? My God.
Yeah. Here we go. She's covered her mouth in despair and worry.
2017?
2017. 4th of September 2017. You have bought a 750 gigabyte mobile hard drive.
Wow.
Yeah. How does this item open up a discussion about the real Tatty McLeod? It's small, but there's a lot
mighty
in there. Yeah.
Okay, let's have a think about what was I doing in 2017 and why did I buy that?
Yes,
2017.
Please.
It's, you know, I don't know if everyone does this, but my immediate thought was having to track back through my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Remembering my life through, I thought, okay, so 2018, that's when I was going out with Ollie. 2017.
Yeah.
I wasn't in, I think I was in a relationship with, what was his name?
Don't know.
The guy from Manchester.
Liam Noel. Don't tell me it's Liam. It was actually Liam.
It's actually Liam.
Was
yeah.
it that Liam?
No. But he did play guitar. Adam.
Adam.
Anyway, so I was going out with Adam, and he bought me a laptop.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's nice. Romantic?
Oh, yeah. Gesture? Very kind. Very nice guy. Mm-hmm. Lovely guy.
Do you like a generous lover?
Yeah, doesn't everyone? Mm-hmm. Don't you like a generous lover?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I wonder if the generosity thing men feel like it's a masculine thing to display generosity to women. I wonder how much it goes back the other way.
Do you know what? Of all of the sort of feminist battles, that one's not up there for me.
No.
Do you know, but just like getting men to stop buying us gifts, that's not high on my agenda.
Crack on.
It's like, I think we can let that one slide. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's okay.
So they can carry on being generous.
I actually don't mind it. I don't even mind it sometimes also when men... I mean, it depends on how far it goes, but I once dated a guy who... What did he call me? Zimbabwean princess.
Okay.
Because I was born in Zimbabwe. That wasn't just a random pick.
Right, okay.
And then I was like, okay, maybe, you know, that kind of thing of like treating you like a queen.
Yes.
That pedestaling.
Yes.
To an extent. And then that for me was like taking it just a bit too far.
Being called a Zimbabwean princess.
Yeah.
Do buy me a laptop. But don't tar me with Mugabe's brush.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Don't. I'm a Republican. Have some respect. Do you know what I mean?
Can we just quickly on a side note here then? So, born in Zimbabwe,
yeah.
And then you grew up in France,
yeah.
And now you're in the UK.
I'm in between. I spent a lot of time in Paris.
Between the two.
Yeah.
God. How do you decide? Well, I love it when people do. I love time dividers. Every now and again, you see it on the back of a book. You'll see, like, I always think of Lee Child, the thriller author. It also says Lee Child divides his time between London and America or whatever. I'm like, what is the... When do you go, it's the 2nd of April, so... off to Paris for a couple of months.
I mean, that would be the right thing to do if you're someone who's a bit more organised about it. I do it on a weekly basis.
Okay.
So I'm in London this week. I'm going to Paris next week. I'm in Paris for 3 days. I come back to London for 3 days. In fact, it depends on work, really.
Okay.
Because I'm sort of like... Well, in France, I would say my career is not as established as it is in the UK, but that's kind of something I'm working on. I'd love to be able to have a career in France and a career in England.
Yes. Would they be slightly different? Would they be
different languages?
Well, of course. But would they be like, how does your comedy translate in France? Do you have to do a slightly different thing?
Yeah, because I'm perceived differently there.
Go on.
Well, in England, what's quite funny, I suppose, is because I grew up in France and we have this image of France as being this erudite, very chic, beautiful country where it's like very sophisticated and elegant.
Yes.
I get tarnished with that brush in a positive way. So I come here and it's like, she's a bit French and there's this kind of positive energy around
it. Or we love the French.
We love the French.
Often pretend not to. We love the French.
We love the French. Yeah. I hate and love them. It's kind of that thing where it's like, But in France, I have pink hair and I come from England, so I'm the English woman. And when they think of English people, they think of vulgar, eats too much, a little bit mental, like sort of like a bit over the top, extra, too much, eccentric, the punk movement, Vivian Westwood.
Out of control, showing off, greedy.
Yeah, crazy.
Don't take our time with stuff, a little bit spontaneous.
Exactly. And also, I came from a part of France, when they do go into the nuance of it, you see, and they can, because when I talk about growing up in France in the UK, it's just France.
Right.
You know, so maybe they know Paris, but you can't speak to them about the specifics of coming from Le Morbihan within Brittany. But when I talk about it in France, they know that I'm from the provinces and they know that I'm from this little village in the Morbihan, and they know that I'm from, in France, it's like I'm from the Stigs and I'm not from a sexy part of France.
So Brittany is almost like Cornwall, isn't it?
Yes.
Although Cornwall's quite sexy.
Yeah, yeah. But St. Ives is sexy. The coast is sexy, but I'm from like 40 minutes inland from the coast.
Okay.
And so. There's this, I'm perceived very differently there.
There's a lot.
So you have to play on that.
But so there's lots of different perceptions of you. Do you like this? Is this?
Well, it's something that I've grown to understand.
Right.
And you have to learn to like it. And the interesting thing is like, who are you within these different spaces? And how do you stay true to yourself, whatever that is, in the knowledge of how other people are perceiving you?
Yeah.
So I can definitely go to Paris and find myself sort of navigating towards more neutral colours. Just because you're like, oh my God, I get so much more noticed in a way that like when you go out in the streets in Paris, it's like if I might wear something here that might be really like random, as in random, like unnoticeable,
yeah.
Like having pale pink hair, like wearing, I don't know, like a slightly colourful puffer jacket,
yes.
Which in East London, it's not going to get you even looked at twice.
No.
You wear the same outfit in Paris and it's going to be like, whoa, exotique.
So what is the Parisian reaction? Is it actually, is it verbalised or is it a sort of cocked eyebrow in your direction?
And it could just be me. Yeah. I feel self-conscious.
Right, okay, yes.
You know, because you're walking around and everyone around you is in neutral colours and looking very chic in that very like classic decontracté kind of way.
Yeah.
And so you yourself, it takes a certain amount. You do have to like really connect with your inner confidence and be like, no, this is my wardrobe. This is how I like to dress.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like suddenly start wearing more neutrals because I feel more self-conscious when I step out in Paris because I feel like I'm more noticeable because I'm dressed more differently to everyone around me.
Yeah.
Whereas in London, you know, a place with like such a history of like the punk movement and generally just I think there's more eccentricity.
You can do what you want, though, is what you're saying in London more. Whereas you're more mindful of it when you're in Paris.
I'm more mindful of it. I'm not saying that Paris don't have their like fashionistas because they obviously do, but it feels like it's an active choice. Like it feels really active to go out in Paris and look different. And it's something you have to actively do, consciously do, and practically like do it as an act of like rebellion. Whereas in London, you can dress eccentrically in a much more passive kind of way.
So if I, as a British person, I'm going to Paris and I can speak a bit of French and I want them to think that I'm French visually, right?
Yeah, too late. Like immediately I'm just looking at you. Sorry.
I can change these clothes. Let's not, wait one sec.
So mean, wasn't it?
This is a shell that can be changed, right? This is camouflage. So what I'm saying is, what are the sort of the top three tips for someone who wants to go deep and go undercover as a Parisian in Paris? What should they do?
Well, you want to start by wearing neutral colours.
Neutral, okay, good.
So it's like, I always say, if melancholy were a colour, what colour would it be? Wear that, you know, black, navy, grey.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to go for. Mm-hmm. The next thing...
Not beige, though, interesting.
No.
Okay.
No, not beige.
Okay.
I don't know, just not... It doesn't carry well beige. It's not a practical colour. That's another tip. Mm. Practicality.
Right.
Don't wear anything that's like for fashion purposes.
Right.
So like these oversized puffer jackets that you wear halfway down the shoulder and you're thinking, well, if it's big and it's a puffer, it should be for warmth. How can it be warm if you're wearing it down to your elbows?
Mm.
So wear everything for practicality purposes. No big logos on anything. No like massive Michael Kors or like big logo or something.
Mm.
And then the second thing is like textures and material. Everything should be natural fibres and good quality at that. So it's about wools, it's about linens, cottons. It's about high quality, neutral colour materials. That's what you're looking for with no logos on it.
Don't try too hard.
Don't try too hard.
I'm going to struggle with that. I think they'll know. I think they'll see me and they'll know.
Well, you're just also, it's like you're just a little bit too friendly. Like the smile. I walked in here. The first thing I said to you was just like, are you a comedian? You're very funny. You made me laugh. You're too bonny. You know, it's that general sense of like melancholy, I think, to capture. And I know some Parisians would listen to this and be like, oh, it's not very fair. But particularly for Parisians, that cliche is somewhat true. And there is this general kind of, don't be too much. Don't smile too much.
So as a people pleaser, I'm going to struggle in Paris.
We are, as English people, very much so, as Brits, we are to Parisians what Americans are to us.
Love that. Okay. So basically, the further west you go, the more you become insane, is what we're saying. We're working this out via the medium of a compass.
Please sit down, put your feet up and relax. Listen to these tales of funny people buying funny things from a company that doesn't pay its tax. Oh, yeah.
Holidays must be different for you, though, because if you're constantly spending your time flipping between Paris and London, right? So you get all, because all the joy of a holiday is just changing your surroundings, but you're always changing your surroundings.
You're one of the first people who's even acknowledged that. I think this all the time and I think about it.
So when you go on a holiday, you're like, it's another place?
Yeah. The other day, and I'm not comparing myself to Zendaya, but anyway,
wow.
Zendaya. Is that her name?
Let's go with that. Sometimes people say Zendaya, but Zendaya. Yeah.
She was talking on Letterman, and I like totally connect to this hashtag. We bonded.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't know it, but
she's watching this.
She's watching this.
She's a fan of the show.
She's a fan.
Yeah.
He said, well, how do you like, what do you do in a downtime? Like, how do you relax? And she was like, I do nothing.
Mm.
She was like, I travel so much that when I have time off, the last thing I want to do is go away.
Yeah.
She was like, for me, time off is spent in one place, my house, in bed, watching shit TV. And I was
with
like,
Spider-Man.
That really relates. that really, I mean, mine's Tom Holland, but that really related to me because, yeah, it's true to say that when I get time off, I like being in one place and I usually make the most of it to like stay in my flat or stay in one place. Like that's what I like to do with my time off. I don't have any sense in myself of being like, oh, I really want to travel.
Yeah.
I want to, because
I've never had that travel bug thing. I've never had that desire.
I guess a bit when I was younger, but, and I suppose it makes more sense if you're in a 9 to 5 and you're in one place, but because I'm on tour and then you're moving around all the time and you're in hotels. And it's actually like, I'm exhausted by travel and I like being in one place.
And that is the actual definition of a staycation. That is a proper staycation.
Yeah.
You're literally staying at home and, like you said, lying in bed and just watching telly. Guilt-free. Do you give yourself a hard time for doing it?
Yeah. But that would be the same regardless of what you do that's been self-employed.
Yes.
I don't think anyone who's self-employed, you can really, because everything is imbued with the fact that you think to yourself, well, I could be working right now.
Yes. And it never ends. There's always something.
And what am I going to do? Put on my emails. I'm off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how to put an out of office on.
No.
I have no idea how to even do that.
I once set up an out of office email and it was the first and only time I've ever done this. And I thought, oh, hang on, I've got a Gmail and I've got an iCloud email address. So I put an out of office on both of those emails and I wanted to see if it worked. And I sent one from my Gmail to my iCloud, but I had already put on the out of office on both of them. And then they started going,
oh my God.
And in the space of about 4 seconds, I basically crashed the internet.
Oh my God.
Honestly, it was like 40 gigabytes of, you know, like a tiny table tennis ball in a space.
That's such a head fuck.
Yeah, so that's the last time I'm ever going to do that.
That makes sense. Yeah, I can imagine.
Ironically, I had to stay in my office to fix it for hours afterwards. So don't bother with that. But you've got a WD 750 gigabyte. That's quite a lot, actually. Mobile hard drive. So were you...
I still have that, you know, and I
full yet,
have
or?
No idea what's on it.
It's got great reviews. It's an excellent hard drive for a modest price.
Yeah.
Sean.
I've not looked at that hard drive since.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure where it is. I'm not sure what's on there.
No.
And I don't know if I'll ever use it again.
Weird, isn't it?
It really is. It's like just the reassurance of like, it's there in case, and then I'm never going
to
use it.
We're the first generation to, we're going to leave this sort of weird digital legacy behind, right? When we cark it. And our kids are going to plug in my hard drive, my Toshiba hard drive from when I was 24.
Yeah.
And it's just got a lot of my headshots on, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
And
that's it.
I mean,
like a few attempts at first drafts at like a sitcom or like a short film or a sketch. And I couldn't even tell you what else is on there, but I don't think it's anything great. Like it's stuff which could have been lost.
Do you think we should be buried with them?
Well, tell you what, the other day, no, because now it's not going to be possible because it's basically in the iCloud. But the other day I went to the Mac store to get some stuff fixed because broke my phone because I left it on the roof of my car and then I drove off. Anyway.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I know.
That's
great moment.
That's a good one.
It's do you know what? You know, you have those moments in your life where you're like, am I becoming my mum? My mum has done that, not with the phone because back then we didn't have mobiles, but she used to do it with a handbag.
Yeah.
Leave it on the roof of the car and then drive off. And I did it completely unrelated. Like, do you know what I mean? It wasn't like I thought to myself, ha ha, what a mum thing to do to put my belongings on the roof of the car.
Yeah.
I just was suddenly like, oh, wow. I am my mother.
I think there's a product in making a sticker. Don't leave that here. And just sticking it on the roof of all cars. Don't do that. It's not going to end well.
It was so bad. It was like, earlier that day, I'd put the roof on the roof of the car. I put my phone on the roof of the car and then thought, oh, fuck, take that off.
Yeah.
And basically what happened was I was at the beach, came off the beach, put it on the roof of my car, put my stuff in the car, sat inside the car and went, oh my God, you've obviously left your phone with your friend. Ugh. Left, drove off, went to my friend's house, couldn't find it. Well, and she'd were days of absolute chaos because I wasn't linked into the internet. And that really, because now your phone is your life. And especially for me, just so much on social media, like it's not something frivolous anymore. It's like, it's your career, it's your work.
Yeah.
And so you end up by losing your phone and not having access to your social media, go into this absolutely like existential tunnel of like, who am I if I lose everything? It like spins you out and it's so depressing. and then it has become so pivotal. It's as if your office is burnt down.
Yeah.
You're sort of like, oh my God, like, what am I going to be without this? And then I got a phone call because I did, told the police station that it had been lost / stolen / God knows what.
Well, you went
and
they for were it. Like, when someone's the police, wow. The police were interested in this?
I felt like I had to do the due diligence.
Was this a
France.
It was in France. Oh, okay, right.
So it was in Brittany, in France. Mm-hmm. And then I got a phone call. Mary said, oh, it's been dropped off.
Right.
I was like, wow. So I turn up and they hand me this phone. You know, it's been through the wars. Wow. It looked like it'd been through the front line. Like it was in front of Germany. Like it had really been through it. Like
smashed.
It smashed up.
Why?
Smashed up screen. Dented.
Oh, God.
And they were like, yeah, a man said he saw it fly off the roof of your car.
He saw it happen.
So he'd parked up and picked up the phone and then handed it into
the
Mary.
He said there was a mad British lady with pink hair. This is what they do.
Can you imagine in front of you, you see this thing flying off. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Flying off the roof of the car.
Yeah.
It's just like, no wonder in France, they're just like, the crazy English woman, she's got pink hair.
Of course.
You know, she needs a phone on the roof of the car.
They do not care. They do not care.
But so I went through this little phase where I was like, oh, who am I without my phone?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Reconstruct myself. I mean, it's pathetic, but reconstruct
But especially because your phone has helped you to build your career. You're massive on TikTok and Instagram. Like,
oh, it's changed my life.
Yeah.
It's changed my life. So that was what happened this year. The year before that, I got my phone stolen.
Right.
2023, Finsbury Park Station. Going to Paris.
Unbelievable.
I had my little handbag. It was like semi-open. I was walking up there. I had wedges on.
Okay.
I had this like leather handbag over my bag, big Longchamp carry-all in the other hand.
Everything you're describing is like it sounds like the credits to Sex and the City. You're going to get splashed by a random cab at any moment.
Well, you know, that was what happened. So this guy stole my phone, and that was my little, you know, when she gets a Manolo stolen.
Yes.
And she's like, no, not the Manolos.
So
you know, I'd been hacked.
Oh, really?
In 2023, I got hacked. Yeah.
That's why you're nervous about doing online shopping.
That's why I couldn't log into the old Amazon account.
So you did have an Amazon account before?
Yeah, I had one that I must have used when I was at university.
Right, okay.
And, you know, before I developed a moral compass.
Nice, nice. Really go for that. Really lean into it.
Yeah, yeah, you did say go into that vibe.
Make it sound like it's a moral thing, yeah.
I got my phone stolen, and so now I have complicated, like, unrememberable passwords for anything.
How do you then remember all of your passwords? What do you do?
I have a password book.
You have a literal passbook?
It's physically written in a book.
Oh, that is delicious. A proper analogue bit of paper.
I've got two. I've got to have copies.
Is it in code so people can't just open the book and go, well, I now have
all
the passwords?
It's in the book because I've also got an authenticator app.
Oh, lovely.
So you'd have to know the password, and you'd have to have access to the authenticator app.
Right, okay.
But the passwords are so complicated that if I don't have the book, I can't log in to find it, which is why I couldn't log in to find my phone when it slipped off the roof of the car.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have my password to log into my iCloud because they were in my book, which is in storage.
Oh my God.
In London. So you'd have to be able to access.
There's a lot of loopholes to... God, your life is like a sort of huge escape room. And it's like once a year, your phone's... sort of kill themselves. Where we're going, we'll be showing the windows and the toes. Cause these lovely ass people gonna talk to the host. He's gonna ask a couple questions. What they're buying the most. Cause one man goddamn just likes a piece of toast.
I remember when I was younger, I remember when I was 21, I went to do this like bit of filming in Africa.
Right.
And I say Africa because it was across the continent. We started in Madagascar, went to Ghana, we went to Kenya, went to Ethiopia.
Wow. And what was this for?
It was for, I did a TV show years ago called Blood, Sweat and Luxuries for BBC Three, I think it was.
Okay.
And anyway, so when I did the show, at the time, I think I had a Nokia. You know, a Nokia 360 or whatever, yeah, like a classic Nokia. Mm-hmm. I was in Africa for 6 weeks and so I had my phone off. I mean, roaming was not a thing back then.
Right,
you know what
no,
I mean?
Sure.
If you want to speak to your mum, which I did a couple of times, we're allowed a certain amount of time at certain hotels.
Okay.
But otherwise, you wouldn't have access, like you wouldn't speak to anyone. There was no email. Like you would not have, unless you were at a hotel and you in that hotel, you went onto a computer. in the IT room of the hotel.
Yeah.
Or through your hotel phone, you called someone. There was no access to the internet. And I remember...
Freeing or worrying? Was that a freeing
feeling?
Well,
it wasn't freeing nor worrying because you didn't have the relationship you had to internet you had now.
Yeah, okay.
So it was
the
not...
Pandora's box was still closed at that stage.
Yeah, so I wouldn't even think about it. But to give you a sense of that, I was away for 6 weeks. I came back. I switched my phone on once I was on UK soil.
Yeah.
I had 4 text messages.
That is really tragic. Were a lot of them...
From my mum and Domino's Pizza. And that was
wow.
it.
Wow.
Because she'd forgotten I was away.
Oh my God.
And that was like it. Because that's how much... I mean, I don't think that's just like reflective of like me having a bad social life. Mm. I think that was just like, that is how...
Bad diet life as well. If Domino's Pizza are noticing that you're away. Where are you, Tati?
But that was what our phones meant to us then. Like, yeah. they were not necessary.
Our phones served now, us then. We serve our phones now.
By the time I leave this room
yeah.
and I'm switched, I'm like, it's been, we'll be in here an hour. Mm. I'm addicted. I'm like, who's going to have text me? I'll go from like WhatsApp to Instagram to TikTok to email.
And then go loop round again.
Loop round
again. The time you spend on the other things, you're waiting for the first one to refresh and reboot with
content. If I was away for 6 weeks yeah. and the only notification I got was like, my mum texted me.
I can't believe that. Was the mum text just like, where are you? All right, Tati, so look, now what we discover is that the orders do tend to dry up a little bit. So
I don't think there's anything
what
else.
You've done is you've literally bought a hard drive. I mean, it's
what
a,
does that say about
for
me?
Someone so colourful, it's very grey.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I mentioned this before and I go back to it. I'm not an online shopper.
No, well, this is interesting. So, look, here's what
I'm
I'd like to
analog
do.
I'm an analogue shopper.
Yeah, good.
Drunk shopping is a thing. People love yeah. doing their drunk shop. I drunk shop in real life.
You actually get out of bed.
I drunk shop in
stagger
person.
Onto the streets.
The other week, I went out. I went to have some drinks with a friend of mine. We ended up sharing a bottle of rosé.
Lovely.
Which isn't loads, but it's enough to get me sort of a bit pissed. Mm-hmm. And then I wandered into TK Maxx and I bought a £268 Roxanda wedding dress. I'm not engaged.
Wow.
I'm single. It was like a floor length cream ivory silk wedding dress.
Imagine your next date, your first date. You could tell them halfway through the date, I've got the wedding dress ready. I'm good to go. Wow.
Yeah. And that was like, I could have gone home and all.
Did you try it on in the shop?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. It was a fully thought out process. I was like, that's a really nice dress. Tried it on, looked beautiful. I was like, this is wonderful. But then I did take it back because once I sobered up a bit, I was like, where am I going to wear this? I don't even want to get married.
Right. Okay. Bearing yet. You got to find the right person.
No, I'm related.
Bearing in mind that that's what you do with spontaneous drunk shopping in the flesh. I think it's a great thing that you don't shop online too much because if you did, you'd be bankrupt.
Do you know what? I have that, paralysis of choice.
Mm.
I find there's too much. So when I shop yeah. online, I tend to stick to basically, I only shop discount.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's a rule for life.
Yep.
I shop in TK Maxx.
Of course.
And I shop on the outlet.
Every story my wife tells me about something that she's bought has to feature the words reduced to.
Reduced to.
Every single.
Roxanda dress, £268, yeah. reduced from 2000.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's my second wedding dress. First wedding dress I bought was...
So you have got two wedding dresses.
Well, no, I've just taken back the second one.
The second one back,
I thought,
right.
calm down. Calm
did
down.
You sort of, when you took... How was that process, taking back a wedding dress? Did you put some tears on as if there's some... terribly sad story in the background.
Do you know what? TK Maxx have seen everything. I don't know what I'd have to... I think I'd have to... I feel like that is... You could bring back a baby to TK Maxx. They'd be like, yes, this is probably part of our stock.
Yeah, I didn't
this was a limited edition.
Wrong size.
Put it in homeware. Like, I'm sure we'll sell it tomorrow. Like, they're so accustomed to, like, the total randomness of products you
of
can
course.
Find at TK Maxx.
Yeah.
They're so unfazed.
Mm.
I think, I don't know what they would, I don't know what would shock them.
Taking a wedding dress back to TK Maxx.
Yeah.
After how long?
I think I had it a couple of weeks.
So definitely enough time to get married.
Because I really considered it. I was like, it is a nice dress. It does look nice on me.
Yeah.
Will I wear it? And I just thought, you know.
Did it look very wedding-y? Very bridal?
This was the thing. You can't get away. I even tried to rock it up. I like.
Yeah,
took,
of course.
I took because it had this like shawly bit that was like attached at the back.
Mm.
And I tried to flip that over the front. I
love
put
that.
I put like a studded belt around it.
What, Avril Lavigne?
Exactly. To make it a bit more rock.
Just a skater bride.
And I, because I was going to the arts Sky Arts Award the other week.
Okay.
So I thought that's an opportunity to dress up. Maybe this can be my...
I'm going to go because I'm married to the arts. That would have been powerful.
Yeah, beautiful, exactly. Mm. All of that. Though I wasn't nominated and it felt like a little bit too much stealing the limelight. Do you know what I mean? I'm not presenting.
You're dressing as a bride and it's not your wedding, yes.
Yeah, precisely. Mm-hmm. It's not even like... I'm not even sure. I'm pretty sure I was like very low down on the invite list, but a lot of people might have cancelled and then they just thought, can we shoe in?
An invite's an invite.
Exactly, but play it a bit cool. Mm, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like when you're invited to the wedding and you're not at the venue and you're not invited to the church, just a reception, you haven't got a plus one, don't wear white. Do you know what I mean?
Fair,
just calm the fuck down. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but so I tried it on and there's a train.
It's got a train with it.
You can't escape the train.
Oh my God, you'd have to bring an entourage with you.
You can't escape
the train. Can you imagine asking Sky Arts for a plus two? Because you've got people have got to carry the train in.
If I just said to them, don't worry, they don't have to eat the food. Just let them squat next to me at the table. They can sit by my chair.
They're my page boys and girls. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, what I would like to do before we finish, because miraculously, we've filled the time. We've filled the air. What I'd like to do, if you're okay with this, is... There's other things you can look at to tell the life story, although I feel like we know a lot already. So there's things like, and you say you don't online shop, for example, maybe Deliveroo. Do you do?
Yes.
Can we have a look at, can we see your Deliveroo account? Can I look at your Deliveroo app? How do you feel about that?
Yeah. That's fine.
As a share.
Okay, let's have a look. I once ordered a Deliveroo.
Mm.
I was on a date with someone.
Yeah.
And I ordered a Deliveroo.
Right.
And it didn't arrive. And it was so bizarre because I was like, I was at his house.
Wow.
And I think maybe it was our third date or something. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those.
Yeah.
And
you don't want a third date to see you hangry. That is.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd order the food and I can't remember why, but I say he was obviously providing the booze or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't arrive. And I was like, oh, for God's sake, like, what's going on?
When do you reveal to a new, you know, lover, the side of you, because that is a really unsexy side of you.
Oh,
you know?
Day one.
Okay.
Oh, but I've got French in me. I'm just like, okay. Oh, bring it out for Let early them... doors. You've mm-hmm. got to be able to deal with the fact that I get pissed off and I get pissed off easily.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, more to the point, what happened was it had been delivered and I was like, where's have it been delivered?
Someone else's.
My ex-boyfriend's flat. My pizza that I was having on a date with a new man after a breakup had got delivered to my ex. Can you imagine?
That's sensational.
Can you just imagine my exploit? Like, can you imagine just being like, what's the message?
Did he just eat it then?
We could probably find what it is. I don't know. He didn't message
Let's
me about
see.
It.
Oh my God.
Let me see which one it was.
Oh, imagine
I've got 38 orders. It was a while back. This would have been like during the pandemic, if you can find it. But it was a pizza. Can you imagine?
Look at this.
Like,
we've never done delivery before. This is very exciting.
If an ex-boyfriend, if I got a meal delivered, if I got a Deliveroo from an ex-boyfriend, I would read so much into it.
Mm.
I'd be like, why is he sending me Greek?
Yeah.
Like, what does it mean? Is it because of that time we went to Corfu?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's he
what
trying to say?
What memory is he trying to trigger?
Yeah, exactly.
What's he trying to say about me?
Why has he sent me a hot dog? Like, does he think I'm a dick? Like, I don't know.
Oh,
like,
what?
You could read so much into it. You just
what's
be like,
the most offensive food you'd send to an ex?
Well,
surely it's just like just lots of burgers.
Imagine they're allergic to fish. And you're
sushi.
Just like, here's sushi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You'd just be
That's
like, you're trying to kill me.
Yeah,
you know, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it just...
God,
there's
so many ways to offend people, isn't it?
So
brilliant.
Many.
It's just so much fun. What's the purchase history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster. You can go right back here. You can go to your Wagamama in November 2019. Here you go.
Right, so
lovely.
Wagamama 2019.
Yeah, you're going for a teriyaki, a chicken
Where was
teriyaki.
Where was I living at that time?
Streets in 2019. Or maybe you weren't living there.
I don't know who that is.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that is my ex-boyfriend's flat.
Right, there you go.
Let's not say that out loud.
Fine, I'll cut that out.
Yeah,
absolutely
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
So that's a delivery with your ex-boyfriend at this
that
stage.
That was my ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Were you with him then going into the Panny D? Did you have...
We broke up just the beginning, first month of Panny D.
Oh, my. Wow.
No, we broke...
Good thing.
No, well, yeah, good thing because I didn't want to be... I just moved in with him. Basically, I moved in with him. Then I went to... God, I hope he doesn't listen to this because it's terrible, but I moved in with him. Then I went to New York and Chicago for 5 weeks to do some, like, comedy courses.
Okay.
And it was on that trip that I realised that we were not right for each other.
God, you found your clown and you also found... that you didn't want to be with him.
Yeah, and it was totally the right decision. Do you know what I mean? And then when I came back... We broke up, and then I moved in with my sister into her attic bedroom,
right.
Who just had another baby, and she was like living. And I said to her, "Oh, I'll be here literally just like 2 weeks until I can move into my into my other flat. Yeah. My friend had this room going, but I had to wait for that person to move out. Just the usual, like, house share.
I won't be in the loft for long, those vibes.
I won't be in the loft for long. Yeah. And then the pandemic happened. Wow. At the time, my work was comedy, but I wasn't making a living out of that. My day job was a tour guide.
No way. Where were you doing that?
Oh, everywhere. Windsor, Bath and Stonehenge.
Right.
London, Stonehenge and the Cotswolds, mm-hmm. Oxford and Cambridge.
Mm, nice places.
Buckingham Palace.
Well, classic.
Obviously, I'm showing they're tourists. I'm going to show them the good bits. To Luton. What do you think the trip's going to be? Portsmouth and Luton.
Swindon has had a long and varied history. You know, it's just, those are good. There are bad places you can go and do history guides to, like in inner London and stuff, inner city London. Interesting, but not, you know, those places are quite glam. It's quite nice to go off to Cotswolds.
Yeah, it could be, except that actually you wanted the London jobs because it's extremely exhausting to do the day trips.
Oh, on a bus.
Yeah, 12 hours at least.
Oh, Lord.
So all of that stopped in the pandemic.
So you're living in your sister's loft.
Yeah.
She's got kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
The pandemic happens. I lose my job as a tour guide.
Yes.
No longer have an income. Can't move into my friend's flat. And right. So I stayed with my sister during the whole pandemic.
The whole, yeah.
Yeah, and she was lovely about it. And I like to think that I helped a bit, but she was just like very generous, let me stay there.
How old are the kids at this stage?
The youngest wasn't even a year old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, but I loved it. It was great. Such a nice time to spend with my nieces. I couldn't have had a better in that sense pandemic.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I moved in with her.
Yeah. Right.
I tell you what the thing is, you know what I developed when in the last place I lived near a yard sale pizza.
Oh, yeah, that's near me. I've got
and
one of those
that,
near me.
And
yeah.
I love that. And so basically, so a bit, it's as if it feeds into this. I don't like online ordering.
Mm.
So my preference is to order over the phone.
Okay.
So I order my yard sale over the phone.
Are you sure you're not 55?
Because equally, I'm not big on texting. I'm a caller.
Yeah, I love that. Do you do voice notes?
Massively.
Mm, little mini podcasts.
But even when I'm dating someone, I'm quite big on calling them quite early doors. Like, I don't like texting people. I can't do, you know, like if you're early doors of dating someone, people will do things. Oh, I mean, we were like on WhatsApp for 3 hours last night. I'm not interested.
No.
It's like, I don't want to text you conversation. I can't be bothered. It's like, I will text someone to be like, hey, shall we go for a drink?
Yeah.
Let's meet on that date at that time. And if it's 5 days away, I won't speak to you for 5 days.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk when we see. And then if you want to speak in between, I'll call you.
You're in the wrong era.
Maybe.
You are.
I'm a 90s child. I don't know.
You're a 90s kid. Seriously.
So,
it's unbelievable.
So with what happened with my Deliveroo is it really dropped off a cliff because I got into yard sale. And the fact that I could call yard sale
was all
I wanted. So I just called them all the time.
The problem I always have with calling for a takeaway is their attention to detail when it comes to audio technology. I get very upset by how little they can hear me. Every time I phone them, I ordered one the other day and I was like, no, oh God. An allergy, like they didn't hear a word I was saying.
I have never had any problems. Yard sale, great. They've even got my account details. They've got my card details in the system.
My God.
They know where I live. They know me by name. You call up, you say, can I get the whatever, the one with the broccoli and the pine nuts on, aubergine, whatever. And they say like, great. And I say, can I get the holy fuck vegan mayo with it?
They're great.
And then it's like sorted.
Look, before we finish, because it does have to end at some stage, right? Tati, I feel like we've learned a lot about you.
I feel really bad for the people listening to this podcast who come here for the concept and I've basically revealed two things about myself.
Oh, you've revealed a lot more than two things.
Okay, great.
Don't you worry about that. It's fine. There's many headlines here. And it's interesting. It was a really interesting thing about identity and Paris and London and all this sort of stuff and, you know, being born in Zimbabwe. And I feel like the way that we're going to get the sort of clearest focus on you, the way we're going to leave this knowing exactly who you are is by celebrating what I would suggest is the poshest delivery order I've ever seen in my life.
What did I get?
You're not allowed to interrupt any of these things as I list them off, okay?
Oh my God.
You just have to sit there.
Oh my God.
And listen to this, right? You get Deliveroo to indulge something a bit oily. Do you know what I mean? Something a bit greasy. Not Tati McLeod. Waitrose number one, natural strained Greek yogurt. Oatly oat milk. Waitrose sourdough crumpets. Gale's white sourdough. Waitrose number one, 49% Dominican Republic milk chocolate. The carbon footprint of this order. Lindt, it goes on. Lindt Excellence milk chocolate bar. Pop chips, barbecue crisps. You can't even get Doritos like everyone else. Essential. She's gone essential, guys.
Essential.
Cutting back.
Excuse me.
Several orange marmalade thick cuts. Waitrose strawberry preserve. And then finally, essential cosmetic pads.
When was that?
December the 1st, 2021.
I think there's another Waitrose order on there.
I mean, what? Okay. I'm happy to
December 2021.
Do you have anything to say in mitigation for my...
I don't think that's that bad.
...putting to you that it's...
I actually think that's a French thing to buy nice things, expensive things, food-wise. Spend a lot of money on food.
The French defence is a good one for you, isn't it? That works very well.
Run to it
you can
whenever.
Really do anything.
Anything.
Yeah, it's a French thing.
Oh, my God. It's like, whatever. You know, if you're blunt to someone, you hurt their feelings, you say, it's the French
just
in
hit
me.
Hit my child.
I'm not even French biologically thing. French.
No, you've got nothing to do with the place. You've just been there a bit. I've been there. Tati, look. Thank you so much for coming and doing My Mate Bought a Toaster. This has been fascinating because we've learned loads about you. We've learned that the format doesn't always require Amazon purchase history. Sometimes you can just go for a wander elsewhere. You can always blame your French heritage for any of your character flaws.
That is an important message I want everyone to know.
We've learned how to be Parisian.
Even when you don't have a French heritage, you can blame your French heritage.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's easy peasy. When are you touring? Tell us the dates when you're touring.
So my tour starts on the 5th of October. I'm going to Liverpool, which has not sold great. So if anyone's in Liverpool, please come to that if this has come out pre that. Mm-hmm. And if not, I suppose the main plug I'm doing at the moment is the tour.
Physically take yourself there. Take a tatty approach to this. Stop doing everything clicky with your thumbs. Physically take yourself out, get drunk, and then buy the wedding dress, but sort of watching stand-up version of the wedding dress.
Do you know what dress. I would do? I would call up the venue to book the tickets.
Oh my God, that is... if I called a venue to try and book a ticket for a gig, they would just be like, what?
I do it all the time. I do it all
you're
the
just
time.
Like this. It's amazing. I love it.
They have a box office.
But I love it. And it's more power to you. We need this.
I don't do online reservations. I call up restaurants to reserve tables. I call them up. I'm like, what's your availability? Can I get to it for this time?
Have you always done this?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And is this unusual with all your friends and stuff? Do they think you're mad?
Yes. They're like, well, I don't think it goes that far because you're not going to be exposed to it. Mm. But they find it really funny, the yard sale pizza thing, when I'm just like, should we get a pizza? And they watch me call up.
Hi, Dan. How are you, mate?
Hey, yeah, how's it going? Yeah.
He's got my credit card.
What is she doing? Mm. Why are you doing this? And I'm just like, oh, no, this is how I work. And it is very much in a dating pool. It's very much a dividing line of if you're someone who does texts or phone calls, and I'm a phone call kind of person.
I feel like there is some sort of book that you should write about this. I feel like this is a whole philosophy of life, taking things back to the phone call.
It's a personality thing, and I don't know what that personality is, but for me, it gets on with it. There's something I like. I'm very much a, like, call up direct. In all situations, I'll just call them up.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, just give them a call. You want to know if they've got that dress in stock? Just call up the store.
All those phone companies who do infinite minutes, unlimited minutes, no one's using minutes anymore. They're looking at going, holy shit, who is this McLeod woman? She's nearly reached the limit of fair usage. She's on the brink of fair usage.
She's using those minutes. Oh, I caught up for everything. I caught up cinemas.
Great. If you want to go see Tati McLeod live, give her a call. 07932. Tati, thanks for coming on the show. You're a superstar.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
There you are. That's your lot, Toasters. Thank you for dropping by. Thank you to the wonderful Tati McLeod. Make sure you go and check her out on all the social media channels that you choose to use in your life. Next week, Sarah Barron is in the hot seat. She's absolutely bursting with fascinating and highly revealing buys as ever. And also one of my favourite ever stories about a publicity stunt gone wrong, which I'm sure you will be enjoying next Thursday. That's when we drop our episodes. Of course, you know this every Thursday. So make sure you're subscribed up on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcasts. And of course, you can watch them as well. youtube.com/@mymatebought a toaster. And also, if you haven't had a chance, you can always dip into our back catalogue. There's all sorts of wonderful people there. You've got Reverend Richard Coles doing very well in the jungle. Joel Dommett as well, of course, who is presenting on I'm a Celebrity. And me. Yeah, there's an episode with me. It's very self-indulgent. This whole edifice is a huge self-indulgence, but one that hopefully you're enjoying as well. Yeah? Cool. All right, same time next week for more Sarah Barron. See you on youtube.com/@mymatebottatoaster. Yeah, lots of love. All the best kind regards. It's my mate, whoa, toaster. Oh, it's my mate, whoa.